God is so good, isn't he? So, I'm going to start this morning, at least, like I planned on starting this morning. I'm not so awfully sure I'm going to end this morning like I planned on ending this morning, okay? Good morning! And thank you for coming or joining us in the live stream. It's always good to have you with us, okay? But we're going to get right into it this morning. So let's stand again and repeat our Bible declaration together. I mean, I don't want you to sit down and get used to sitting down or anything, okay? So stand, please. You'd have to be up here. When I said, you got to stand again, please, you should have seen the people. Oh, God, help me, Jesus, you know? Yeah, let's go, right. Anyway, take your Bible in your right hand. Got you. All right? And repeat with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, let's go. Amen. Let's go. You may be seated. All of you who went, oh. Now you can go, ah. All right. So would you stand with me? No, I'm kidding. Okay. This is kind of a strange way probably to start out a sermon, but I can't answer for you. But since I've been a Christian, I've heard a lot of things, okay? But one of them is this. And I'll try not to put too much voice inflection in it, but I can't help it, okay? The Christian life is so hard. It's so hard. Being a Christian is just the roughest road to hoe, whatever that means. Don't think it's going to be easy. It's not going to be an easy life. It's just not. Because serving the Lord is hard. It's just so difficult. You know, by the way, if you do feel that way, at least don't admit it when you're witnessing to an unbeliever. It won't help your cause at all, okay? And I understand what's being said, you know, when people say that, but I don't necessarily fully agree, okay? It kind of makes it sound like God wants us to struggle, okay? That would be in his will for us, and that he sits back and watches instead of helping us with our battles, my opinion, okay? Because I think he does help us. Come on. I think he does. Do you want to know what makes the Christian life tough? We don't die enough. We don't die enough. What am I saying? Just as our flesh is what makes a Christian life hard, not our God. Amen? Amen? Amen. And I believe with all of my heart that God equips those he calls and he empowers those he employs. There's no doubt. And if you didn't know it before this morning, God wants to employ or use every single one of us, so he equips us and empowers us to win the battles of life. That's just the way it is. Amen? See, when you're in a battle, where do you go? You go to the Word to find out how you should respond. At least you should if you don't. Amen? Amen? And so he gives that to us. And there's other ways that he empowers us too. And that's what I hope to show you this morning. I want to prove that to you this morning, okay? In the message that's entitled, The Perfect Partner. Okay? Say, The Perfect Partner. The Perfect Partner. All right. Please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. 13, 11 through 14. Aren't you glad to be here this morning? Yeah, amen. Me too. All right. Are you there? All right. Close enough. I'll wait for you, Gary, because I'm going to interrupt you later, okay? That's 2 Corinthians 13. That's right after 2 Corinthians 12. All right. Finally, brethren, farewell. Become complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Good promise. Great promise. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Don't try that on me. All the saints greet you. And then he says this in verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit, say communion of the Holy Spirit, be with you all. Amen. Amen. Now, are you good and involved in what you're doing, Gary? Good. Would you come up here and pray, please? Sometimes I get few pleasures in life. That's one thing you got to give me, okay?
I think the last time you used the scripture, we actually had somebody that kissed me on the lips after service. So please, 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 I'm running. Don't do it.
You know, I remember that.
You do remember that?
It was a sight. Yeah, don't do that, okay?
I'm not that spiritual.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, it was a guy that did it, okay? So
it was a guy that did it. Yes, it was. But there are some men that I would kiss. But let's just move on and pray. My son, my dad. I'll clarify that, okay? My son, my dad, yes. Can I sit down now?
Yeah.
All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for everything that you've already done today. Mm-hmm. And I thank you for everything that you still are going to accomplish,
yes, God,
in us and through us. God, have your way, Lord, in each one of us today. Father, as we hear your word, I pray that we would be open to it, God, to receive it, and that we would, God, that we would just take it in, Lord, and use it, God. Father, I thank you for Pastor Wes. God, I thank you that he, as he delivers your word today, God, it'll be delivered with all the power and authority, Lord, that is in your word, which is you. God, we thank you for that. We thank you for him. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen. Amen and amen. Thank you, Gary. Thank you. Wasn't that awesome worship this morning? I mean, some mornings just stick out more than other mornings. Amen. So let's give the praise team a hand, all right? Thank you for your dedication, your commitment, Pastor Josh. Amen. Amen. All right. If asked, most of us would confess, I believe, that we want to live an overcoming type of Christian life. And I think that would be accurate. Amen? Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't want to be a winner, right? Right? All right? Okay. All of us would like to overcome all the obstacles that life throws at us, and we'd like to overcome all the things that the devil throws at us. Yeah? And we'd like to overcome anything that gets in our way of having an overcoming life. That's just the way it is. Even if your doctrine doesn't include the word of faith doctrine of being prosperous and being blessed, okay? I would pretty much say that most believers are on the same page. That is, they're on the same page where God is good, right? God is good. And his desire is to bless you. Are you with me? He wants you to do well physically. Matt, you're going to do well physically. I can see that. And he wants you to do well mentally and especially spiritually. All right? He has a preconceived plan for your life. He knows what's coming. He knows what's going to happen. That God is also for you and not against you. All right? And, you know, that's one of the most key scriptures. When you think that the junk that comes at you in life is from God, he is for you, not against you. Amen? Scripturally, only good and perfect gifts come down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Okay? That's one way of figuring it out. And I could go on and on with all the good things that God wants to give his people to experience in life. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 gives us an even better idea of what God has in mind and has provided for us, okay? The Bible says, grace and peace be multiplied. I'll take that. To you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. The Bible tells us that's wisdom. I want that. Amen?
Amen?
Okay. As his divine power is given to us all things, how many? All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. I don't know about you, but I'm happy for the exceedingly great and precious promises that are mine today as a child of the King. That through these promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature. You can be like God. Amen? Not that you can be God, but like him. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. All right? I mean, it's without a doubt, in my mind anyway, in the way that I read the Word, and if you read those scriptures, it's just without a doubt that God is a good God. And he has actually and truly moved heaven and earth for you and I. I mean, he sent his Son, right? Amen? Come on, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, his one and only Son, to bear our sins on the cross of Calvary so that he could commune with us. Where he couldn't commune with us before, he can now and become reunited. We can become reunited with him. And not just reunited momentarily, but reunited with him for eternity. Glory to God. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. And Jesus himself called you and I what? Friends. Friends. Can you imagine? So it would only stand to reason that we would expect to live a good, blessed, and righteous life, amen, with him at the helm. And that's the way it is, as long as you keep him at the helm. Now, but, there's the but, okay? But, there's a number of teachings that are circulated among believers that make all that we talked about, how much? All that we talked about, impossible. All right? Impossible. That's right. Not difficult, not hard to do, but makes it impossible. And that teaching is this, okay? That the Holy Spirit was active during the biblical times that we read about, but today, the Holy Spirit basically sits inactive and isn't involved in our lives like he was back then, despite the fact of what it says in John 16, verse 7. And I know that you probably all know this verse, and you've heard it before, but I'm going to read the passage anyway, all right? I'm going to read John 16, 5 through 7. Jesus was speaking, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, say nevertheless.
Nevertheless,
nevertheless I tell you the truth. It is... How many of you believe it when Jesus says it?
Right.
When Jesus says something like, hey, I tell you the truth here, he doesn't even really have to preface what he says with that, okay? But he does here. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. What? For if I do not go away, if I stay here, if I stay on earth here with you, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Can it get any clearer than that? Can it get any clearer than that? Again, verse 7 reads, and let me just put some emphasis here. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage. Advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Helper's not going to come. But if I go away, if I depart, I will send him to you. That word advantage is translated from a Greek word that means to be better for, okay? To bring together, to be expedient, to be good, or to be profitable for. That's the Greek word right there for advantage. All right? So as far as living the daily Christian life, which is what we have to do, amen? I mean, it's great to come to church on Sunday morning and we get to worship and hear the word and celebrate with God's people, but we also have Monday through Saturday. Amen. Okay. But so far as living the daily Christian life, Jesus just told us, he just told us, it was more advantageous for you and I, or it would be better for you and I if he departs. In fact, he said this. He said, his leaving would bring us together. His leaving would bring us together. It would be expedient, and it would be good, or it would be profitable for Christians everywhere that he leaves this earth and sends the Holy Spirit. So that leads me to believe, all right, it leads me to believe that without the constant communion with the Holy Spirit, which some mistakenly say doesn't exist anymore, all right, without the constant communion with the Holy Spirit, it's impossible, all right, to live the life he died to give us. No matter what you believe that might entail, whether you believe in the prosperity gospel, whether you believe in maybe a not quite as positive a gospel. Do you know what I'm saying here? Okay? Why is that? Because a constant communion with the Holy Spirit is the launching pad. It's a launching pad, if you will, for a life not only of supernatural power, but listen to this, supernatural consistency. How many of you could use a little more consistency in your life? Amen? Amen. Let me read to you what we read earlier in 2 Corinthians 13, 14, okay? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. You know, we so easily slide over words. We think communion with the Holy Spirit, yeah, that means communing with Him, right? But it means so much more. Okay, so much more. The word communion that you see in this verse is the Greek word koinonia, okay? Koinonia is a word that has a whole plethora of meanings, and you've probably heard this Greek word before today. It's used many times for the kind of fellowship that we have, a koinonia type of fellowship, a close fellowship, an exchanging type of fellowship. Amen? Amen. But one of the primary meanings of koinonia is that of partnership, okay? Partnership. An example of koinonia that really shows us the idea of this partnership is found in Luke 5, 7. And you can turn there if you like, otherwise it's going to be on the screen. And this is a story just after Jesus supplied a miraculous catch of fish. Okay, so Luke 5, 6, and 7 says this. And when they had done this, they caught, and that is throwing the net on the other side of the boat, okay. They caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners another boat to come and help them. I can't read today for some reason. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. Can you imagine that many fish being that successful? The story, though, is this. Peter and the other fishermen had fished all night, and they hadn't caught anything. Jesus told them to cast their nets on the other side of the boat, like that would help, you know? But they did it anyway. And when they obeyed, they caught such a massive amount of fish that the nets actually began to break. Peter knew he couldn't handle this miraculous catch of fish by himself because his boat was just too small to take them all in, all right? So he called to the other fishermen in the nearby boats to come and to help him haul the fish. And in response, they came, all right? It must not be like today. They came. They came and they helped and filled both of the boats to the point where they both began to sink. The word partners in this verse is translated from the word, again, koinonia. Okay, koinonia. In this scripture, it really does refer to real legitimate business partners, okay? That's really what it's saying. One scholar says that this word used in this context lets us know that Peter wasn't a small-time fisherman, okay? That's what he says. He wasn't a small-time fisherman, and that he owned an entire fishing enterprise, and those men in the other boats were his business associates or his company partners. Who knows what it may imply, okay? That's good. Take it if you want it. If you don't, spit it out, okay? But whether these fishermen or these other fishermen, okay, whether they were other fishermen, or they were co-owners or employees that worked for Peter, or just random fishermen, they were all working together as partners, okay, on the same job, and we're focused on a joint venture to catch and sell the fish, okay? Keeping this partnership, or koinonia, in mind, 2 Corinthians 13:14 could convey the following idea. Instead of using the phrase communion of the Holy Spirit in this verse, we could say in the partnership of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Do you see what I'm saying? We could say the partnership of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And it would read just like this, okay? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the partnership of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. If you stop and think about it, this translation really makes a lot of sense. It really does. Because Jesus is our example in life, is he not? Amen? How about over on this side? Okay, all right. Because, all right, he's our example in life. All of us are endeavoring to become more like Jesus in our daily walk. Am I right? That's what I want to become more like Jesus. He's our example. He walked this earth, and we have the promise that we can be like him. Amen? And so we work to be like him all of our life. During Jesus' earthly ministry, he and the Holy Spirit always, say always, always work together in partnership. What do I mean? Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit in Luke 1:35. And we see Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit in Matthew 3:16. And he was led by the Spirit in Matthew 4:1. Jesus also healed people by the power of the Holy Spirit in Acts 10:38. And he cast out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit in Matthew 12:28. And he was resurrected from the dead again by the power of the Holy Spirit in Romans 8:11. And he was seated at the right hand of God in the heavenly places through the power of the Holy Spirit, as told to us in Ephesians 1:19 and 20. And you can go look those up if you want to, but you can believe me, okay? So every time we see Jesus working in the Gospels, he is working hand in hand with the power of the Holy Spirit. He's our example, right? Okay, so they were partners, amen? So if you really think about it, if Jesus needed this kind of ongoing partnership with the power of the Holy Spirit in order to accomplish his divine role in the earth, then it's only natural that you and I need it as well. If we're going to end up being anything like Jesus, we have to be partners with the Holy Spirit. And that's what this was saying here, that we should be partners with him. And that means so much more than, and I'll explain it to you a little bit more as we go on. It still amazes me that Jesus would say that we need the Holy Spirit more than we need him. In order for us to live our life here on earth, it was better if he was gone. I would think it'd be better if he was here. I mean, I got some questions, eh? Right? You know, but he said it was better that he went away. There's another idea conveyed by the word communion or koinonia. Say koinonia. Koinonia. I like that Greek word. I can pronounce that one pretty easily. Koinonia. Yeah, okay. But there's another meaning that's conveyed, okay, and that's this. Not only does koinonia speak of partnership, it also speaks of the idea of taking responsibility for someone. I'll let that sink in. The communion of the Holy Spirit, him taking responsibility for someone. In other words, okay, the Holy Spirit wants to take responsibility for you. Amen? Amen. That's good stuff. An example of this is found in Philippians 4:14, when Paul wrote to the Philippians and commended them for the generous gift they sent for his ministry. He told them, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress." The word that is translated shared is once again what word? Koinonia. Okay, koinonia. At the time Paul wrote the Philippians this letter, he was imprisoned at Rome during the writing of the letter. And over the years, if you look back at Paul's life, he had traveled and preached and raised up churches, worked with leaders, and really he'd given his life for the church. He really had. But all of the churches that Paul had poured his life into, of all of those churches, none of them helped him financially the way they should have. None of them. And this isn't a message on giving, unless you want to make it that, you know. So in order to cover his expenses, Paul worked as a tent maker during the day, then he preached and trained leaders during the evenings. I mean, it wasn't the ideal situation. It wasn't the best plan, all right? But because no one would support him, it's what he had to do. So he did what he had to do. And again, he was literally pouring his heart and soul into the churches that were not financially helping him. He was still pouring his heart and soul into them. All right? Now, all right, say now. I don't want you to get bored while you're sitting there, so I have you repeat things. Say now. Paul was in Rome, in a Roman prison, when he received a special delivery letter from the Philippians, okay? I don't know if they had FedEx back then. FedEx of Philippi? Anyway. And in that letter, he found an offering that the Philippian church had sent, okay, to support him during his time of difficulty. In other words, what they did was they took responsibility for him. Okay? They took responsibility for him. Paul uses the same Greek word koinonia to convey this meaning, the same word. Okay? The same word he uses in 2 Corinthians 13:14 when he writes about the communion of the Holy Spirit. So 2 Corinthians 13:14 could also be read this way. And the responsibility of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen? So why is this so important to you and I? Why is this so key? Because it means that just as the Holy Spirit wants to become your partner in life, think about that. Think about that. You know, so many times, oh, it's so hard to be a Christian. I'm all alone. You are not all alone. All right? You're not all alone. All right. I'm going to start over. Because this means that just as the Holy Spirit wants to become your partner in life, to work with you and for you and through you, he also wants to assume responsibility for you. Wow. Now I'm beginning to see maybe where it was advantageous for the Spirit to come and Jesus to leave. Are you starting to see that here now? You know, that all of a sudden a member of the Godhead is going to be my partner and it's going to assume responsibility for me. And these are just a couple of reasons, all right, why Jesus said it was to our advantage for him to go away so that the Holy Spirit could be sent. You know, when I think about it, and I can't help but believe that when you really think about it, you know, God, Jesus, ought to be given praise for sending the Holy Spirit. Amen? So why don't you just praise him just for that right now? Yeah, give it, clap your hands, shout, whatever you got to do, okay? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that I'm not alone. Thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit takes responsibility for me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, if you wish, okay, you can believe man's teaching about the absence of the Holy Spirit in our lives today, if you choose. And then as much of a gentleman as the Holy Spirit is, he will stand by and watch you try to live the Christian life all alone. All right? But I can't imagine that being anything that someone would want. Why would you take what is so key to our not only survival but our success as Christians and say it doesn't happen anymore? Just because it's easier to go with the flow of the order of service and to open yourself up to the Holy Spirit that can interrupt your service. I don't know about you. I would rather have the Holy Spirit interrupt anytime. All right? Anytime. But if you'll open your heart to the Holy Spirit of God, He will. I wonder, because I go, say he will, is that why they say it and you don't? No, it couldn't be, because that time you said it and they didn't. All right. He will, say he will.
He will.
He will assume a more active role in your life. I want the Holy Spirit to have an active role in my life. And if that means he's got to be my partner, then so be it. Glory to God. If that means that he will take responsibility for me, glory to God. That means I have the help that I need, right? That means I don't lack anything for life and godliness in Christ Jesus. I think I read that somewhere. This tells me that no matter what man teaches, what God teaches is better.
Amen?
Amen? It's better. It's advantageous. It's to our good, for our good. I want to ask you this morning, if it's the cry of your heart to know that partnership and that responsibility of the Holy Spirit, not merely as mental doctrines, not merely as, oh, I heard it on Sunday morning, wrote it in my green notebook, but you want to know it as a constant daily reality in your life. Why don't you raise your hand? If you want that to happen, I mean, you just want it to, then I'm going to tell you something. Then you got to decide today to let him into your life. Amen? To be your partner and take responsibility with you for you. I heard something in Bible study, men's Bible study. I had to clarify that. Anyway, Tony Evans was talking about driving down the freeway, and he's going down the freeway, and he said all of a sudden a policeman pulled on the freeway, and immediately his driving habits changed. You know, immediately he took his foot off the gas, right, put it closer to the brake, and the whole time that policeman was beside him, he was the best driver there was. Man, but the minute that policeman took the exit, he went right back to the way he was, okay. Now, why did I tell you that? Because the presence of the Holy Spirit is always with you. And I'll tell you something, it just shows me how much convicting power the Holy Spirit can have, that when you're alone, he's still there. When these people aren't watching, he still is. That's scary, but it's so wonderful. Amen? And why does the Holy Spirit do that? He does that simply because he has taken responsibility for you. All right? And he's your partner in this thing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If that's the cry of your heart, why don't you stand with me, please, all of you? To know the Holy Spirit better. Maybe it's always been a mental thing with you. You've known that, boy, we shouldn't exclude the Holy Spirit, but really, push come to shove, you kind of exclude him in your life, okay? If you want to make him your partner, make him your burden bearer, if you will, and allow the Holy Spirit to help you fulfill the responsibilities of your calling in Christ, once again, why don't you raise your hand? Yeah. This is so necessary. I'm going to ask those of you that have raised your hands to come forward, and I'm going to pray that you would let him be all that he wants to be in your life. Okay? So I've opened the altar for you to come. And it was no surprise to me that the presence, here we go, that the presence of the Holy Spirit was here this morning. Because it seems like every time you preach about the Holy Spirit, man, he just comes. He just comes. He makes a difference in the worship. He makes a difference in your ability to soak in what's preached. He makes a difference in my ability to give it to you. But to think, you have the opportunity this morning to make him your partner, all right? Make him your partner and to allow him to take responsibility for you. It's awesome. It's awesome. Why don't we pray a minute, okay? Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that you have sent the Holy Spirit. Jesus, thank you that you went away so that the Spirit could come. And right now I pray that each one of us that have responded here this morning would let him be all he wants to be in our lives. Let him come in, let him be the partner, let him take responsibility in our life. Let him be our source of wisdom, our source of power, our strength to launch us forth into a lifetime of blessing and abundance. Why don't you raise your hands up? And again, just like you're going to receive some, why don't you kind of cup your hands like somebody's going to pour this out on you. I believe God is, okay? God, I pray that right now that you would pour that hunger out upon your people. Just pour that hunger out on your people, that they might hunger for your presence and hunger to be comforted. Hunger, God, for your Holy Spirit that will partner with them, that will help them in every way and take responsibility for them. Heavenly Father, let it happen now. Let it happen now. In Jesus' name, let it happen now. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to do something. I want you to give him some praise and tell him thank you right now for what he did, okay? Tell him thank you for what he did. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, what you're going to do, God, but for what you did. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to say one thing. If you walk away from this altar and do nothing different in your life, nothing's going to change. Okay? So if you walk away from this altar and seek the Holy Spirit, he will more than come in. Amen? He will more than come in for you. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you. Let's give him praise just one more time. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God. God, you're worthy. Let's just be here for a minute, okay? Let's just be here and kind of focus on the Lord, see if we're done or if there's something else. I don't know about you, but I just thank the Lord that there's times we needed to do this. Because there's a Holy Spirit that so many times wants to do more than we are sometimes ready to let him do. Heavenly Father, we've come today. Lord, we've heard your word. We've responded to your word. And God, we want to live your word when we leave here today. God, I pray that you would put a hedge of protection around husbands and wives who have heard your word today and want to make a change, God, that the fighting wouldn't happen today. Protect them. God, I pray for the person who maybe there isn't a husband or there isn't a wife in their life. I pray for them and their kids, God, that the fighting wouldn't happen today. God, just surround each person with your presence so that the enemy couldn't get over, under, through, around, that he would just have to give up. And I ask this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, if there's anybody here that is sick, Lord, I pray that you touch them right now. If there's anybody here that knows somebody that's sick, I pray that you would touch them right now so that you might receive the glory when the person gets to talk to them later. God, may we never boast in anything except the cross of Christ. And I thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.